Elizabeth Elliot says, I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control, helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my husband, Lars. He's been telling us about his growing up years in Norway, and then you went into the Navy.
When I look at life in my own particular circumstances and what has happened to me, I have to go back and say that the foundation was given to me by my grandfather and grandmother. From their faith and their example of being Christians and living it day by day. But then what happened to me when I came over to this country, to the States, and I always continued going to church. I read the Bible off and on, prayed. But it wasn't something that was real in the sense that I knew that I was a Christian. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew that I ought to be doing something, but I didn't know exactly what it was. In fact, I took several trips back to Norway to talk to my grandfather what it meant to be, what it is that makes a person a Christian. And I'd get over there, and we'd talk about everything but that. And I'd always come back disappointed. So I think I went into jobs with the thought in mind of Christian work. And I say this because I know one time when I was in Luther League, I was going to a Lutheran church in New York at the time. The pastor one time said to me about another boy, he pointed over to him and said he'd make a good preacher. And it was just then as though I said to myself, well, what about me? And so I had thoughts of Christian work from way back when I was young. And there was never a time that I didn't believe in God and didn't believe in Jesus. But I had never made it personal. And so I began after school and after the Navy to do different terms of employment, you might say, and always thinking eventually I'd wind up in Christian work. And so through the restaurant business and land surveying and selling real estate, trying to sell real estate. I really didn't sell very much of it. Being self-employed and doing odd jobs and painting houses and whatever else, I wound up eventually selling ladies' better ready-to-wear. As you say, I used to say I was in ladies' clothing, but you never did like for me to say that. That was a term we used.
It didn't sound very good. I used to be in ladies' clothing.
But what I did, I traveled to South. By that time, I had long since moved back down to Atlanta, and I lived there and covered 14 states in the South with another man and then by myself selling ladies' clothing. And I used to think, well, I could sell ladies' clothing for the rest of my life, and what difference would it make? But anyway, it was during the mid-60s that I knew that I needed to make a decision, and I had to realize what a Christian was. And at that time, I certainly was under the conviction of sin, and I had a real good case of self-righteousness, of balancing the scales, of seeing what I was doing, whether it was real bad or only partially bad, or you do two good things and one and a half bad, and you sort of balance it out. And I'm sure a lot of people know what I'm talking about. But I did come under conviction of being a lost sinner, and the answer was I had never accepted Christ as my Savior. And that was a thing that changed in one summer evening there in 65, I think it was. And after that, I didn't have any great change in life because I had, in a sense, tried to live out a moral life and a Christian life. Didn't have any before and after stories to tell, sort of, as many have. But I thought more and more about life and the ultimate job that I was going to do, if I was going to just continue as I had been. When I met Calvin Thielman in North Carolina, who's a pastor there, and it was through him that we talked about seminary, and I was going up to New York to pick up a new line of clothes for the next season, and he had people that he knew up at Gordon-Conwell, so he said to me, he said, why don't you take a day and go up and look at Gordon-Conwell? He said, I think you ought to think about maybe going to seminary, and I have a friend up there. I'll introduce you to him, and he can show you around, which I did. I came up to Gordon-Conwell. I looked at it and met this man. And the long and the short of it is that within about 2 weeks' time, I had hung up the clothing business, so to speak, and rented out my house, moved up here to Gordon-Conwell, and began school. And Calvin had said to me, he said, look, you don't have any responsibilities as far as to anyone. You can go to school for a year, and if you can't, as he said, cut it, you can always go back to selling clothes. So I really came to seminary not knowing what I was going to do, but coming sort of open, and as he said, you go for a year, and if you don't make it, go back in business. So that's what I did. As it turned out, of course, I stayed for the full term and then did hospital chaplaincy internship. And I think had I continued as far as being in a, one might say, a professional or full-time ministry or something, I would have stayed in the chaplaincy work. I think all of the things that I did in my past, the type of selling that I did and meeting people and all, prepared me to enjoy hospital visitation, hospital work. Had it not been the fact that I moved in as a tenant to your house and then love blossomed and I persuaded you to marry me, and then when I realized that there was a whole area of your work that was certainly lacking by not offering people a chance to have a tape or a book, that I began doing that with you, and that, of course, has developed into a full-time job. So that's all that I do now, and that is to sort of compliment you. I think it's certainly true that God has given us different gifts. Oftentimes people ask me, well, what do I do at these meetings when my wife is up front and she's doing all the speaking and I'm back in the back and nobody knows me and all of that, and what about my self-image? And it's something that has never worried me. I don't think about it, and tell them sometimes, laugh. I said, well, there's no problem with self-image. I don't have any. But it's, I enjoy that part that I do and realize that God has given us different gifts. But there's also one other thing that I certainly am aware of, and sometimes you get people asking you, do you really believe what you say as far as the man being the head? And it seems as though you are doing a lot of that headship kind of a situation or speaking out. And you had a letter from a man kind of asking whether or not you believed what you spoke about. And I can certainly testify that there's never been a time in our marriage that I've ever been intimidated or thought that you were trying to take my place as far as being head of the family. It's true that you go by Elliot, and if I get called Mr. Elliot, that's all right. I laugh and just say I'm Mr. Elliot the Third. We are grand in real life, and you do certainly live out the obedient wife role, although we haven't come to a place where we have to, I think, where I had to say, well, this is exactly what we're going to do. We talk about things and all that, but it's never a question in my mind that had any of our problems come down to a decision having to be made, it would be made by me, and you would willingly follow it.
The letter that you referred to, I think there was a tone in there from, he was one of our radio listeners, that indicated that this man found it almost impossible to believe that the woman that he listens to could possibly be willing to submit to a husband. Did you get that impression?
Yes,
from the
I think. Yes, I think that's.
So he
that's
was sort
true.
Of saying, in effect, well, if this is really the case, then let's hear it from Lars. So,
well,
thank you for saying that.
I'd have to say that two of the things that certainly was attractive to me was one of the things. One was that you knew how to treat a man. And also I felt from very early on, just from watching you, that you would rather have a man take care of you than to be on your own.
Thank you so much. This is from my husband, Lars Grin, and I wish that I could have him on here just about every time. It gives me a sense of confidence and reassurance, but I'm sure that our listeners have been glad to hear your story, Lars. Thank you, darling.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.